The greatest power you will ever experience is the power of God's love towards you.
Death has been defined, and the grave has been denied.
The gospel of Jesus Christ does not revolve around your love and commitment towards God, but it revolves around God's love and commitment towards you. God is not a sin-conscious God, but a worth-conscious God. And you are worth so much to Him. The following program revolves around God's love for you, when you can discover your worth and enjoy the life God has dreamt for you. I am Bertie Brits, and it's an absolute honor for me to come and minister the gospel, the good news of God's grace to you today. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation to whosoever believes it. We need to understand that the good news of Jesus Christ is powerful. The gospel is power. Today we're going to talk about faith, and this will be the last program in a series of four where I've been talking about faith. And we're going to go and look a little bit more theologically at what the gospel really was. So many times we think the gospel is one thing and then it can be something completely different. And then we will miss out on the true power of that gospel. Remember, the Bible says the gospel is the power of God to those that believe. So, and it's the power of God unto salvation for the Jew first and also for the Gentile. So we want to see the power of God in our lives. We want to see what God has intended for us. And that is, and that comes through the gospel. We need to understand that the gospel is very good news. When we look at the word gospel, it simply means extraordinary good news. Now, the word good is also the word where the Bible says that it must go well with you. So when we talk about good news, we talk about news that is well. And the word news is very simple. The word news is simply knowledge or information about an event that has taken place that will impact our lives today as well as our future. The word news means information about an event that has taken place that will impact your life and your future. You see, news is always based on history. Something cannot be news unless something has not taken place. So when the Bible comes and the Bible talks about the gospel or the word of God, that which produces faith, the message that had to be preached by the apostles to see faith come to the lives of people and to see the power of the kingdom manifesting in them, that word gospel had to be news. It was information about a past event or something that has taken place or something that is busy taking place that can impact the lives of people as well as their future. So when it comes to the gospel as the power of God unto salvation, we have to say the gospel is the very good news of an event that took place or that was taking place at that time that can impact the lives of people in such a powerful way that they can see freedom in their lives, that they can see what God has dreamt in their lives. Now, we're going to talk about what this gospel is today. If we want faith, and faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, and the word is the gospel or the message of the gospel or the word is gospel, then we have to define what this gospel really is. Because if I come to you and I say to you that the gospel is good news, that good news can change from person to person. It It will all be defined by what a person sees as good news. Good news to a person that is a drug dealer would be that they didn't catch him and that he got a massive contract to sell drugs, maybe. And that would be good news to him. The other good news would be if a person is a police officer, he might have good news, and that is that they've caught the drug dealer. Can you see how good news can change and how good news is always in the light of what people understand as good news? So we need to go and look at the Bible. We need to go and look at what was understood by the Jews as good news. When Jesus went around and he preached the gospel or a certain message, healing, bringing forth signs, wonders, and miracles, what did the people understand was that good news? What was the good news to the Jews? What is good news to humanity? First thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to look at the effects that this good news had on people's lives. Number one, the good news was a message that caused the kingdoms of that world to want to kill the believers. That we need to understand. The good news, the gospel of Jesus, was a threat to Rome. It was a threat to the kingdoms of that world. It was a threat to traditional beliefs of the Sadducees, which was really ruling in the synagogues and working with the Roman Empire back then. It was a threat to them. They didn't want to hear that. It was of such a sort that they would want to embarrass the Christians. They would want to, the systems of the world would want to kill the Christians. They would put them on the stake, set them on fire, use them for tortures at night by putting oil on them and setting them on fire. Now, what could be such good news that the systems of this world would want to destroy those who preached it? Now, we can say that was simply because of satanic influence and because the devil doesn't want the gospel to be preached and so forth. But I don't think that. I think there's more to it than simply just a satanic influence. There was something that the people of that time saw that made them think, this is a threat to my kingdom. It's a threat to my system of doing and so forth. Another thing that it was bringing forth in the people that believed it, a willingness to be persecuted. It brought in them a willingness to see their children being not a willingness as in, I'm giving my child up for that, but should it take place, should it come that they will be persecuted even unto death for the gospel, that they would take it with a smile. And where they would, even if they will be threatened with their lives, that they would say, that's fine. Now, what was preached that was of such a magnitude that the systems of that world would stand against it to the point that they would want to humiliate Christians and destroy them and kill them? What did they preach? What did they say that could cause such havoc? Even the Apostle Paul, if he would come to town, he preached a message that caused him to go to jail. Now, what today can cause, even if we look at today's empires and today's systems, what can you do as pertaining to the gospel that would cause the leaders of a big worldly system to just put you in jail? What would you have to preach to bring that forth? And we can clearly see here that it did bring it forth. I'm not going to read through all the scriptures, but those of you that know anything about early church history will know how the Christians were severely persecuted. We can see how it brought even political turmoil to a certain degree. Why was that? What could this good news mean? Plus, another effect that the very good news had on people's lives was not just that they were persecuted or were willing to die for what they believe, but it actually brought forth good fruit in their lives. This message was such good news and of such a magnitude and of such a truth that it produced Christians being generous, giving to one another, helping, caring, and bringing forth. It just brought forth what the Apostle Paul in Galatians accurately describes as the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, meekness, temperance, faith, faithfulness. What news can cause that to happen to people's lives? Now, we're going to still look at that. I just want to ask those questions, and I want you to think a little bit. Let your mind go. Ask yourself the question, what would you have to hear today, and in what parameters must it be that you that effect will be in your life? First thing I want to say about the good news is what it's not. The good news is not the message of what you need to do in order to get saved. The good news is not the message of what you need to do in order to get saved. That would be instructions on how to get saved. It wouldn't be news. It would be an instruction of what you need to do to have something in the future. It is simply information on what you need to do. So the good news is not the system wherein I tell you this is what you need to do to be saved. That would simply be information on what you need to do. The good news is also not the message that God is not angry with man anymore. Now, it is very good news to know that God is not angry. But that was not what Paul was preaching. Paul wasn't going around saying to people, listen, I've got good news for you. God is not angry with the world anymore. That was not what Paul preached. And today, as a preacher of the grace of God, I realize that for a long time we were thinking that the good news was that God is not angry with the world anymore, and that He took all of His anger and basically put it upon Jesus and punished Jesus. And because He punished Jesus, His anger was satisfied and He was relieved from being oppressed by anger on account of the disobedience of Adam. Now, that is not what the Apostle Paul preached. We don't find the Apostle Paul going around and even using the word anger, saying God is not angry anymore. Do you know why the Apostle Paul never preached that Jesus or God wasn't angry anymore? It's because God has never been angry. God has always loved the world. The Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave His Son to save the world, to preserve the lives of the people in the world. He wanted to bring them to life. He wanted to save them from what oppresses them. Okay, so we find that the gospel of Jesus is not the message of what you need to do to get saved. In other words, you can't go around and say, this is the gospel, pray a sinner's prayer, and you will be saved. Now that is not, I wouldn't say it's wrong to say that you need to accept Jesus in order to be saved. Yet the question is, we don't find the Apostle Paul preaching that. He never went around saying to people, pray a sinner's prayer and then you can get saved. Although it is true that when you accept Jesus into your life, that salvation comes to your life. The question still remains, what is this gospel? What is this very, very good news? Another thing that is not the gospel is that it's not the gospel to say that you don't have to live by the law anymore. Now that you might say, Bertie, but you know, you're a grace preacher. How can you say that? The Apostle Paul didn't go around preaching, I've got the good news for you. You don't have to obey the law. That is not what he went about preaching. Although it is true that we don't have to live by the law anymore, and neither do we find righteousness by the law, plus the law has been fulfilled and passed away. That we all know. So we don't find salvation by the works of the law, neither do we observe commandments and rules and principles to find life by that. And although it would be very good news to say that you don't have to live by the law to be justified by the law anymore, that was still not the gospel. That is, Paul didn't go around and say, you don't have to believe, there's good news, you don't need the law anymore. That's not what he did. He preached something that would conclude that we don't need that law in order to be saved anymore. Now, what was that good news? I know I'm stretching this out, but I want your heart to be open to think, what could the very good news be? The very good news was also not the typical prosperity gospel. We didn't find Paul go around and preach to people and say to them, if you believe in Jesus, you're going to have a massive house, you're going to have the best quality horses and chariots and those kind of things. He never preached that. We don't find the Apostle Paul ever bringing the good news of prosperity, where everything will just go well with you. We find the Apostle Paul actually saying that he boasts in his weaknesses. So what could this gospel be? I want to say this. I'm not saying that God cannot provide for you. I'm not saying that there is no financial prosperity or provision. What I'm saying is the good news that made the people very happy was not the message of how the Apostle Paul went, and if it was in today's terms, promised people Armani suits, Ferraris or the latest BMWs or whatever. He didn't go and promise that. He didn't promise the church the greatest financial prosperity and blessings and healing all the time. He didn't go and preach that. We actually find it very difficult to find one chapter in the Bible where Paul explicitly teaches on healing. We can find maybe a verse here or there, but it has not been the focus of his ministry. He had something else. It was something much grander, much bigger than that. Now, to understand what the good news really is, we're going to read Mark 9, verse 35. And now I'm going to get into what is this gospel, and we will obviously continue in the next session with this, because I see I'm not going to make it in the session. Right, Matthew 9, 35 says the following. Matthew 9, 35, 64. And Jesus went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every sick and every diseased amongst the people. And then in Mark 4, 23, it says the same thing. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease amongst the people. Now, the people of that time, the Jewish people, were, and let me first say this, it's called the gospel of the kingdom. That is what it says. Jesus Christ went and he preached the very good news of the kingdom. Now, just throw a scripture in there that can help you. Remember when Jesus cast out devils, they came to him and said, Jesus, you casting out devils by the prince of demons called Beelzebub. And then Jesus says, no, I am not casting out the devil by the prince of demons, Beelzebub. If I cast out the devil by the finger of God or by the Holy Spirit, it means that the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you, has come unto you. That's what it actually says there. So what is this kingdom and how does that relate to the Jews? The Jews were oppressed by many nations in history. And at that time, they were oppressed, they were under the rulership and the oppression of Rome. And they believed that God would give unto them dominion over the earth, and that they, through their dominion and accurate application of the laws of Moses, they would then bring peace and prosperity to the whole earth, and so rule over the earth, and that would all be under the rulership of a man that would deliver them from the oppression of nations called the Messiah. And that would then be the kingdom of God in the world, wherein God comes through the law of Moses and through the Jews and brings salvation to the world, wherein he can save people from poverty, where he can save them from violence, where he can bring peace and calmness to the whole world, wherein these Jewish people would then rule over the Gentile nations, as well as just all people, and so see that which God has dreamt for the world comes to pass. Now, here Jesus comes. So what the Jews were expecting is they were expecting that the kingdom of God, God's way of ruling, God's way of doing, will come to the earth, that will come to the world. That's what they were expecting. And here Jesus Christ comes, and he does something extraordinary. He preaches the good news of the kingdom. What that actually says to the Jews was, and what is written later here in John, when they sent their gospel and when they sent their account of what Jesus Christ has done to all the people they wrote it for, they basically say that Jesus, when he was walking on the earth, declared the kingdom that the Jews awaited. That was now declared in the earth. The good news that God will come and in his authority and in his way of doing will start to rule and manifest the kingdom of heaven or the life that is in heaven in the earth. And Jesus comes and listen to what he does. He preaches the gospel or the good news of the kingdom of God, and he declares that is now present in him. And what does he do? He heals the sick. Now, what would that mean to the Jewish mind? And why would it be referred to by Mark as well as Matthew as the very good news of the kingdom? We need to realize that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John wasn't written while Jesus walked on the earth. It was written after the resurrection. And when they looked back, they gave an account of what they understood happened there. And Jesus Christ came and he preached the very good news of God's rulership over sin and death. That is what he actually preached. That's what came forth. And that is what the miracles pointed to. Jesus came and he preached the good news of God's rulership on the earth, and the signs that he pointed and what he meant by that manifested in healing of the sick. Now, what did the Jews understand under healing of the sick? If you read Deuteronomy 28, especially from verse 15 onwards, you will see that curses would come over people should they not obey the law and live in sin. And those curses, one of them, the Bible says in Deuteronomy 28, would be all forms of sickness and disease. And here Jesus comes and he heals that. Now, what does that say to the Jewish mind? It says that this person that does that is of an authority that is greater than the power that can cause that disease, which would be, in the Jewish mind, sin. So when Jesus comes and he preaches and he starts to manifest the gospel of his kingdom, what is taking place is he is starting to show that the one who is more powerful than the sin in people is here, and he is exercising rulership over what people couldn't exercise rulership over since it was more powerful than them. That is what this whole thing is all about. So the very good news of the kingdom of God, correctly understood in this case, and next week we'll look deeper into this, would be that the Savior or the Almighty or the Messiah would come and set people free from what governs their lives, to set them free from what they are oppressed of. The Jews thought that they would be set free from Rome. Meantime, God didn't see Rome as an oppressor. God saw sin as the oppressor. And when he came and preached the kingdom of God is at hand, he showed the power of this kingdom in healing the sick, showing to people that he's got the power to remove their sins and bring forth restoration to people's lives. That is the good news. Now, next week, we're going to go deep into this, and we're going to look at Mark 16, where Jesus was raised from the dead, and we're going to look at what this gospel truly is. I would like to encourage you, when you read your Bible, when you make a study, when you listen to messages on television stations or online, please go and pray and say, God, give me understanding. I want to understand what this is. It doesn't help we just come with overexcitement and just believe something. There is a power that goes with understanding. The Bible actually says that the seed that is sown on the road, which bears no fruit at all, is he that hears this word of the kingdom and doesn't understand it. And then it goes on and it says the seed that does bear fruit is he who hears the word and understands it, and then that word bears fruit in him 160 and 30-fold. Amen. I want to encourage you to go to our website and also contact us via the WhatsApp number that is on your screen. We would love to hear from you. If you want any prayer or have got any questions, please send it. Go to dynamicministries.com or just the WhatsApp number that's on the screen, and we would love to hear from you. If this program has blessed you, please let us know. We would like to hear from you and just know what this is doing in your life. You can also go to our website and make use of our material there. I've got two books, Born from Innocence and Jesus is the Tithe, available in e-format for free. I want to thank you so much for watching and allowing me to serve you with the gospel of God's grace, the good news of your freedom. Amen.